All right, everybody take your Bibles out, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. This is a little bit of a tough passage of Scripture to go through, but I believe there's a lot of good truths that we can apply to our life. And once again, this is not just an exhaustive study of the book of Proverbs. This is kind of like touching the tip of the iceberg as we go our way through. But like I said, when we get done, you can honestly say, hopefully this isn't the first time, but you can honestly say you've read the entire book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 8. And we're going to read the whole passage. And let's see, we'll start in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice of gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge with witty invention. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel's mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Look at that word durable, and so we're going to look at that later on. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no foundations abounding with water, before the mountains were set, before the hills was I brought forth. Well, as yet he had not made the earth, nor fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandments, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, when I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoice in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we come to you, and we know that you are the author of this book. Heavenly Father, I'm inadequate. We need you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just impart to us wisdom. Help us to learn from the book of Proverbs. Heavenly Father, help us to apply it to our lives. We need you to meet with us tonight. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when a person is saved, I believe God empowers a person to change and do anything that God wants them to do. And this is why we are created in the image of God. We were basically three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And by the way, the title of the sermon tonight is The Secret of a Changed Life. The Secret of a Changed Life. And listen, we are made in the image of God. We are made body, soul, and spirit. And so therefore, when a person gets saved, their soul is not affected. I believe their spirit is. And when a person gets saved, their spirit is changed from dead to living and is brought back to life. And this is where the term born again comes from. When you have a lost person, you have a soul, a body, but a dead spirit. When they get saved, it is brought back to life and the soul is not touched. But their soul does not change, and your soul is your personality. It's the place where your character resides. You either have character or you don't. And if you don't, your soul has to be retrained. There's two things that most pastors have never seen. Number one is most pastors have never seen a homosexual get saved and turn from their ways. That's one thing that most pastors just haven't seen. The second thing that most pastors have not seen is a lazy person get saved and stop being lazy. These are not impossibilities, but they are very rare. I believe that God can do it, and I'm not saying that he can't, but they are rare. But listen, we're going to, you know what's interesting is all throughout the book of Proverbs, this word character is going to come up. And listen, when a lost person gets saved, back to what I was talking about before, when a lost person becomes saved, it doesn't get easier for them to get up and go to church. And it's not easier than when they were lost. The desire is there because their spirit, because of their spirit, but the character or the lack thereof is still there. That's why very few bus kids trust Christ and become active church members. It's because they haven't developed character. They were never trained to have character. We see many of them saved. And to be honest with you, when you're working with bus kids or you're working with teenagers that are lost, you're just excited when there's small improvements. You're excited when they trust Christ. You're excited when they get baptized. You're excited when they carry their Bible to church because they're starting to realize that their Bible is important. But listen, once in a while, you have one that turns out and really encourages you. But it takes years and years and work and work. And we know one or two here. But listen, one up in Michigan was Brandon. And Brandon is somebody that, listen, we pretty much, he was like a kid to us. He was over at our house constantly, and we took him to school, to a private school, worked it out to where he could attend. His grandparents did a lot, but listen, it took work, and he's still in church today. But those bus kids that are walking with God and church members are few and far between. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try, but listen, God gives everyone the power and the tool to retrain the spirit, but the soul is still full of bad habits. And it's a lack of character. That soul doesn't want to change. If the soul doesn't want to change, they will still have a wasted life. So how does the soul of man change? I'm glad you asked. Listen, God gives awesome things that can change the soul or the character of an individual. Look at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1. There's two key words here in verse 1. Number one, the first word that I want to look at is wisdom. The second one I want to look at is understanding. We'll look at wisdom first. Verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Wisdom is the ability to see things as God sees them, or knowledge. Listen, a brand new Christian comes to church. They don't have wisdom yet. They don't know what God requires. They don't know what it takes to please God. And they sit under the preaching of God's word, and the pastor gets up, if he's any kind of a pastor that God wants him to be, he preaches the whole counsel of God. He doesn't just pick and choose on what he thinks will tickle people's gizzards. He preaches what God gives him. And then this person maybe sits through and he hears a sermon about tithe. Well, what's tithe? And he finds out that tithe is giving of 10%, and he leaves home with wisdom. And but he leaves with more wisdom than he had before, because wisdom is knowledge. Wisdom is knowing the God's commandments and God's warnings. This is why we're studying Proverbs. It's going to give us wisdom on what to do. Now, the next word that I want to focus on is understanding. Understanding is the ability to apply what we know. Because listen, there's that term that I remember hearing it a lot growing up, is there are some people who are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. What does that mean? That means they have wisdom. They've sat there and studied and studied and studied, and they know the Bible like the back of their hand. But they don't have understanding. They're terrible at applying it. They know how to lead a soul to Christ. They just don't do it. They know what God requires. They know the commandments in Scripture, but they just don't do it. Wisdom is to know what we're supposed to do. And like, for instance, tithe. But it's a whole different ballgame to go to the ATM, slide your card in, enter the PIN, have it spit out cash, take it to church, and drop it in the offering plate. You see, you can be wise and a fool at the same time. Because, listen, we refuse to apply what we know. Because wisdom is knowledge. Wisdom is knowing what God requires. Understanding is being willing to put that wisdom into practice. And so, listen, if you think you can trust a teenager, you're a fool. Because most have wisdom, but not understanding. I remember Pastor Griffin growing up. He was a youth pastor. And he used to tell us teenagers, you know what? I trust you about as far as I can throw you. And I got a bad back and I can't throw you very far. And so, listen, when it comes down to it, wisdom says to abstain from all appearance of evil. And if we don't, then we're just a fool. And so, listen, there are times where maybe it's not a sin, but we need to take and abstain from the appearance of evil. This is why I don't think that an adult man should be hanging around a teenage girl in the parking lot alone. It looks bad. It's abstain. It's an appearance of evil. And by the way, this is why I don't think that men and women, if they're not married, should be going off alone, because it's the appearance of evil. And so we need to be careful, because we know that God tells us, hey, abstain from the appearance of evil. But if we don't do it, we're fools. We don't have that understanding. Solomon understood the Bible like no other man. Think about this for a moment. He asked for wisdom. He was the wisest man. He knew the Bible like none other did. He knew the Bible frontward and backward. He knew God gave him wisdom. He was the wisest man to ever live. But at the same point in time, he was a fool, because he failed to have the ability to put that wisdom into practice. Many things that he warned his son about, he fell prey to the same thing. He had wisdom. He just failed to apply it, that understanding. And so, listen, back to the bus kids, and or maybe anybody else. You have a person raised in a welfare mentality. They don't have to stay that way always having their hand out. You see, not everybody has the ability to be raised in a godly home. You know what? One thing that I appreciate is the fact that both myself and my wife, we grew up in godly homes. We grew up where, you know what? There was no question in anybody's mind. If the doors were open to the church, we were there. And you know what? That was wisdom and understanding. And but listen, if somebody wasn't raised properly, they don't have to stay that way. See, God gives you everything you need to develop character. God has a solution, but if you don't work at it and do God's will, then you are stuck where you were in the beginning. You know, one thing about Bucyrus is all you have to do is try and get young people in Bucyrus to come to church Sunday morning. Their first response on most of them is, well, I don't get up that early. Well, do you have an afternoon church? And you think, what do you mean an afternoon church? And listen, develop some character, get up, and well, I don't even get up that early for school. And it's like, well, listen, there's a reason why you're failing school. It's because you're not getting up in the morning. And but listen, that's laziness. And so God gives us a path here in Proverbs chapter 8 on how we can overcome our character weaknesses. Your character sets the alarm for what time you should get up, and your laziness hits the snooze button. And, you know, and we won't have a show of hands because I don't want to raise my hand. But the snooze button is just a revelation that we need to work on our character. And so the only way to overcome or overcome laziness and develop character is by God helping us to develop that character. And we see look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3. She standeth on the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the pass. She crieth in the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Number one is character is a choice. You know, many people get discouraged when they're out soul winning. And you know what? They see somebody saved. I tell you what, it's a glorious, it's awesome. By the way, if you haven't saw anybody saved, you know what? There's a way to learn how to, you can take one of the gospel tracts and read it to them. There's a way of leading somebody to Christ if you want to. But by the way, that's the difference between character and laziness. And so, listen, character is a choice. But listen, we get discouraged when we lead somebody to Christ and they don't come to church and they don't get baptized. Well, chances are they didn't have character before they trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so they don't have character afterwards. I believe this is why the Bible advocates when you trust Christ to immediately get baptized. If you don't obey the Lord and believer's baptism when we start out, we're training ourselves that we don't need to have the character to live the Christian life the way we should. Because we see that the first commandment after we get saved is to be baptized. And I've seen a lot of people lose interest in getting baptized because a lot of churches across America will tell you what, we'll schedule this time. There are churches who have a baptistry full and open and ready to go, and there's some that don't. And you know what? After weeks and weeks and weeks, that person loses interest in getting baptized. Why? Because he didn't have the character to get baptized in the first place. And then when it stretches on, they lose interest. And so, listen, and the Bible says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the Ethiopian eunuch, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? All throughout scripture, what happened was there was a salvation, and immediately after there was a baptism. And by the way, it's not scriptural to make a new convert be baptized at a later date. And so, listen, character is a choice. And we got to ask ourselves, are we teaching God's way or are we not? Salvation is a choice, just like character is a choice. And by the way, choosing character doesn't stop when we get saved. We have choices to make along the way. And listen, too many times people say, well, you know, let me tell you about all the things that you have to leave to get saved. That's not the way it is. And so too many times people will say, well, listen, you have to take and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you have to be baptized. Then you got to give up these posters. You got to give up this. And you got to be faithful to church. And listen, we're not adding works to salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But this is exactly why discipleship is so important. And by the way, we as Christianity have dropped the ball in discipleship majorly. And listen, discipleship is this, giving them wisdom and forcing them to make the decision between understanding. Because listen, there are people who I've taken all the way through to the discipleship program, and you know what? They're still not in church. But you know what? They have the wisdom. We've given them the tools to be successful. We've showed them in the Word of God. It starts off with salvation, making sure they have an understanding of salvation. It goes to eternal security. It goes to baptism. It goes to why church membership is important and attending church faithfully is important. It goes on to sharing the gospel, why it's important. It goes through everything that they need to start out in the Christian life. And this is why discipleship is important. This is why so many people fall away is because, listen, not only do they not have understanding, they don't have wisdom. And so discipleship is a time where almost, I hate to say it, but you can, it's a way of, many people want fellowship. Many people want a friend. And you can use that to help implement wisdom so they're forced to make a decision about understanding. And so, listen, you have more character than most people in the world. Because you're in church. And by the way, you have more character than the people that were here this morning that are not here tonight. And I'm not talking about those who can't see at night or sick or physically unable to be here. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the people who lack character, who have made excuses on why they shouldn't be here tonight. You see, these verses that we're looking at show exactly how available God's character is. You see, if a person is saved and they're ignorant of the scriptures, it's because they want to be ignorant. If you're ignorant, you are ignorant on purpose. In America, there's no reason to not know the scriptures. We have, you know what? You can get a Bible. You can go online on eBay and get a King James Bible sent to you. You can go to the dollar store and go get a King James Bible from the dollar store. If you don't know the Bible, it's because you don't want to know the Bible. If you don't have understanding, it's because you've chose and I've chose to not have understanding. You see, when a person gets saved, they have a responsibility to the Lord and to their character to be a church. If we are in church long enough, we will get wisdom, and it will force us to either be a fool or to have understanding. And as we look here in verse 2, she standeth on the top of the high places by the way of the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming of the door. Listen, God is going around crying, say, hey, listen, wisdom is over here if you want it. Hey, listen, I'm not just going to stay at the gates. I'm going to go to the high places, and I'm going to go the way of the paths and to the gates and to the entry of the city. Listen, God is saying, wisdom is over here. He's crying over here, and he's crying over there. He's crying over there. Listen, he wants to give us wisdom. If we don't have wisdom, it's because we don't want it. And so next we see in verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. Character is always right. You see, as we develop godly character, we will never be led astray or hurt by the choosing to do right. And by the way, right is not determined by how it turns out. Right is not determined by circumstances. There's a lot of people out there who think situational ethics. You know what? If I'm near a body of water, I can strip half naked. That's situational ethics. You won't find it in Scripture. And listen, too many times, well, if I'm in this place or if I'm in that situation, I can change what I believe. No, character is the automatic doing of right, no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation. Character says, I will do what is right, whether it's convenient, whether it's comfortable. I'm not even going to look at the circumstances. And right is not determined on how it turns out or whatever what other people think. It is whether or not it pleases the Lord. If you do right and lose everything you own, the results don't determine whether or not it was right or wrong. See, the bottom line is not how it turns out, but rather how God feels about it. You see, there was some Christians hundreds of years ago that took a stand for the Bible. To take a stand for the Bible for them meant that they would die. The result of their decision did not determine whether or not it was right or wrong, but rather if it pleased the Lord or not. By the way, we have our Bible today because those individuals chose to do what was right and lost their life. They had what's called character. Next, in verse 9, the Bible says, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to him, to them that findeth knowledge. Character is never satisfied. Plain here, in verse 9, the Bible says they are all plain. Plain means easy to understand. See, the Bible will be simple enough for those who want to understand it. It'll be plain enough for those who seek, so that that person can grow and have enough wisdom to apply understanding. You see, God is obligated to help that person who wants to improve in the spiritual realm. Next, we see in verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice of gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You see, the world is always trying to tempt you away from character. The world will parade in front of you all the things to try and get you off track. But character is nothing more than the automatic doing of right. You see, we must daily choose prestige, power, and popularity to please God. But once again, Character is automatically choosing to do right. It's not having to pray about it. It's not having to consider it. It's the automatic doing of what's right. And I'll tell you right now why some people don't have good character, why some good people don't have good character. Because every time something comes up, they have to think about it. They have to weigh it over. They have to decide what they're going to do. Let character decide what you're to do. Let character decide where you're to be on Sunday morning. Let character decide where you're supposed to be on Sunday night. Let character decide where you're supposed to be on Wednesday night. Let character decide that you're going to pray at the allotted time. Let character decide that you're going to read your Bible at a certain time. Let character decide whether or not you're going to share the gospel with somebody else. Let character decide whether or not you're going to be in your ministry, in your place, on time, and where you're supposed to be serving God where God has called you to be. Let character to decide. You can do right, but if you have to deliberate on it, then that's not character. Character is automatic doing of right. And by the way, this is the problem with America today is we take and we decide right then. And by the way, passion overrides reason. Too many times we decide while we're in bed with the covers up on our neck, the alarm going off, we're wearing out the snooze button on whether or not we should be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. That is not the time to decide whether or not we're going to have character. The time to decide that we're going to have character is ahead of time. By the way, listen, if we want our children to turn out to serve the Lord, we have to be the godly example. We've got to train character. And by the way, I'll get into that a little bit later on. But listen, we have to decide that we're going to do right. Next point is found in 14, and this kind of segues into it. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Character trains character. Only those Christians with godly character can teach others to have godly character as well. This is why you don't ask somebody who attends Sunday morning service only to teach a Sunday school class, to lead, or to train anybody. Because you can't ask somebody with no character to teach character. And I'm not talking about those who can't. I'm talking about those who won't. You can't ask a hypocrite to teach godly living. It won't happen. Only character can teach character. They can only receive what you have. This is why a lot of times the church reflects the pastor. It's because everything rises and falls on leadership. This is why it's so important to choose the right pastor, is because a lot of times you can only train what you have yourself. And so parents cannot live a backslidden life when their children and expect them later on in life to follow a godly example when you get right with God. And listen, I've seen it a lot of times where a parent will be backslidden when the children are young. And what happens is those children look and they're being trained. The younger years are the most formidable. I remember reading child rearing books and they said, listen, if you haven't trained your child by the time they're 7 or 8, it's going to be uphill all the way. Because by that time, you should have trained them to obey, to listen, to have a good attitude, to not talk back, and so on. And but listen, by the way, well, let me explain it this way. Manasseh was a king. His daddy was Hezekiah. He was a godly man who prayed for 15 more years. But during his last 15 years, he did wrong. And this is when Manasseh came around. Manasseh was a rebel, and he did more for practicing idolatry than anyone else. By the way, he was so wicked, he took the prophet Isaiah, stuffed him in a log, and cut him in half to shut him up because what he said brought conviction. I tell you what, that's wicked. Manasseh was put in prison in a foreign land because things were so messed up, and he got saved over there. He came back, saw all the filth he'd brought into this kingdom, and all the idolatry. The problem was, is when he tried to change it all, the people rejected his positive changes to the kingdom. His people followed after the wicked way that he had taught them when he was backslidden. And this is a lot of times what happens with parents. This is why, I'll be honest with you, as a parent, I run scared. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See, it goes on to the next point in verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Character is developed as a child. This is where even a lost person can have the traits of character. You see, a lost daddy can train a lost son to have character. And when he gets saved, by the way, those are the ones that get saved and they take off for Christ. Because you don't have to train in character. And the Bible says, those that seek me early shall find me. This is talking about the early years of life. This is why it's important that if we have young children in the home, that we're the godly example. And by the way, even as grandparents, as you know what, you can have a positive influence on your grandkids. And it needs to start with a young age. We need to set the godly example. This is why it's so important. Listen, you know, one of the downfalls of people in America, Christians in America, are those that decide, I can skip church for whatever reason. You know what? It's vacation. I'm going to take a vacation from God. Watch out, those young kids that you're trying to influence, see that you're taking a vacation from God. You have a godly influence. And listen, character is the automatic doing of right. Whether or not you feel like it, whether or not you're on vacation, whether or not somebody comes over. And by the way, how in the world are we ever supposed to see our lost relative saved if we say, you know what, I'm willing to skip church for a family function? You know what? At this point in time, God's not important. But you know what? When I'm witness to you, He is. That's not character. You see, the longer we train that child to have character, the stronger that habit will become. And hopefully, when the yoke is removed, the child is in the habit of doing right. Because listen, kids are not hurt by them learning how to work. You know, this idea nowadays of everybody gets a participation award, that drives me up a wall. And because what are we teaching them to do? We're teaching them that character doesn't matter. We're teaching them that this book, forget Proverbs, just cut it out of your Bible, throw it away, because Proverbs teaches character. Proverbs, the Bible says, if a man shouldn't work, neither should he eat. And so listen, if we're not teaching our young people to have character, if we're not teaching them to strive, you can reward efforts. But I'm sick and tired of everybody. You know what? There's a kid that just shows up, picks his nose, and he gets a participation award. That's not teaching character. And you know what? When we take and give them an allowance for something they didn't earn, we're not doing them any favors. And so we need to teach godly character. And this is why I believe there's a difference between children that are raised in the city and children that are raised out in the country. And I tell you what, you raise them out on the farm, they have to learn to work. Right, Mrs. Stump? You don't see many country kids that are lazy. Otherwise, they get chewed up and spit out. And but listen, and by the way, I think there's no coincidence that our big cities are messed up. And this is why a lot of godly people are out in the country like Bucyrus. And you go out into the West Coast, you go out to the East Coast, they're messed up. Why? Because all these kids are sitting around in their house with nothing to do, doing this on a video game all day, and we're training them not to have character. We're training them to live in an alternate reality. We think that, you know what, hey, go ahead and sit them in front of the one-eyed monster and let them take and soak up all the philosophies of this world. Go ahead and sit them in front of that video game console and let them learn all kinds of garbage and violence and false reality. Listen, we need to learn to work. We need to train. And by the way, listen, kids are usually going to grow up and be just like their parents. And this is what's frightening. Next, in verse 18, character has its own reward. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness, durable riches, things that will last, things that won't be eaten up with moth nor rust. Tell you what, I hate having a car in Ohio, and Michigan's bad too. It seemed like those things just rust away out of nowhere. You could spray them with oil, you can dip them in, you know, you can do whatever you want, they're going to rust. But listen, durable riches. By the way, character is the doing of right, not because of what we get out of it. Character is the doing of right because it is right. We don't have to evaluate things to decide whether or not it's right or wrong. Character, by the way, character is blind to the outcome. But listen, character is the reward. No one that's trained with character looks back and says, I wish I didn't have character. Someone with character looks back and said, thank God that I had someone that taught me character. And by the way, verses 22 through 30, by the way, I want this is kind of a change in direction a little bit. But the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or the earth or ever the earth was. And there were no depths. I was brought forth when there were no foundations abounding with the waters. Before the foundation were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set compass upon the face of the earth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandments, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, when I was by him, as one brought up with him, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. What we find here is Jesus is wisdom. And by the way, Jesus never changes. As we read that passage, look at who is talking here. You see, character is nothing more than a reflection of Jesus Christ. Because if you have character, if we have character, we'll ask ourselves, what would Christ do in this situation? And that is what we'll choose. You see, Jesus is perfect character. Think about it for a moment. It was only character that took Christ to the cross. Because he had the desire. There was love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you know what? You can look all across Bucyrus, and there's a lot of people that love people. But you know what? There's a lot of people that don't have the character to do something about it. I remember being back here on the apartment, and I remember going on a full arrest, and a dad that was overdosed by drugs, and the mother was standing there just hugging her kids, and the kids were bawling as we were trying to save the life of that husband. I really believe that young man loved his family, but you know what? He lacked the character to do anything about it. And listen, if we have character, we're going to be more like Christ than we are the person that's selfish. Look at verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. See, character building is a lifetime work. It's a lifetime of learning. The only person who is going to learn to have character is one who realizes that they do not know it all and they need to learn. Only the person that says, there's a lot more that I have to learn, there's a lot more that I don't know, only the person with character says, but you know what, I'm going to learn it. You know, too many times we think that we've arrived, and by the way, the children are known for this. I know. I remember one of my kids, when they were younger, their favorite phrase was, I know, I know. I'm like, you have no idea how much you don't know. You still pick your nose and eat it and think it's okay. You still soil your diapers. What do you mean you know? And listen, you can't even put the dishes in the dishwasher. You don't know diddly squat. You can't tell me what 8 times 8 is. You can't tell me how to fix a car. You can't tell me what's in the Word of God. What do you mean you know? And you know what? The problem is the wise person knows how much they don't know. And the wise person says, there is so much more that I need to learn. The wise person says, I don't care how long I've been saved. I don't care how long I've been in church. I don't care how long I've been a Sunday school teacher. I don't care how long I've been working a bus route. There's a lot more that I need to learn. I don't care how many times I've read the Bible. I need to read it through again. And you know what? The wise person says, hey, listen, I don't care how much I already know. What I do know is how much I don't know. And I'm going to fix that. I'm going to read the Bible. And by the way, that's the same person who says, I'm going to have character, the automatic doing of right, no matter what my circumstance is, because there's a generation coming behind me. And by the way, a lot of times we have this watered down version of Christianity, and we expect the next generation to take that watered down and make it better. The problem is, a lot of times they take that watered down version of Christianity and walk away from God altogether because we're a hypocrite. The world and the lost and the young people are looking for something that's real. Somebody that says, listen, I don't care what the circumstance is. I don't care. You know what? There could be an earthquake outside, and bless God, I'm going to be in church. You know what? There could be a family gathering going on all around me. There could be 80 different family gatherings. I'm still going to be in church. You know what? I could have a vacation from now until kingdom come. I'm going to be found in church. And you know what? I don't care. And by the way, don't get me wrong. I think if there's bad weather and you can't make it, you know what? There's a website that's going to be airing Calvary Baptist Church. There's going to be Facebook that's broadcasting it. And you know what? There are ways to be faithful, even if you're providentially hindered, so to speak. But listen, it's a lifetime of waiting. Look at verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watcheth daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. We are going to wait on God, but we need to be in the Bible in our prayer closet. You see, God is trying to develop his reflection in our life. And character is trying to be more Christ-like. And by the way, it takes time. You don't see somebody that trusts Christ and the next day they become a pastor. That's not the way it works. It's a journey. It's a path. And by the way, if we're not willing to wait, a lot of times in the valleys and in the waiting, that's when God develops us the most. You know, the times that we think, you know what? For instance, we talked about Moses. Moses killed a man because he wasn't willing to wait. He got God's timing out of place. And so listen, when we take and we rush God, we're going to be in a world of hurt. But next in verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor with the Lord. It is a lifetime of choosing. And by the way, we never get to the point where we don't have to choose character anymore. I don't care if our kids have left the house. I don't care if we've taught Sunday school for 50 years. I don't care if we've read through the Bible 50 times and we've got it memorized. There is never a time where we say, I don't need character anymore. Character is a lifetime of choosing. Either we waste our life in choosing the things that please ourselves, which is death to our character, or choosing life that pleases the Lord, which builds character. It is our decision. And we have to keep on making that decision and keep on making that decision and keep on making that decision because that's character. Having character is lonely because the world is convinced convicted by you. And they're not going to want us around. It will bother us. By the way, sometimes when we have character, the people in the house of God that we think should not be convicted by character are. And there's times where people in the house of God, where when we have character and we decide that we're going to choose right, there's times, you know what? The hardest time to stand is not out in the world, because there's a drastic difference between them and us. You kids, you go to the public school, and you know what? You're drastically different from them. It's easier, in my opinion, to stand when the world is so different. It's harder when somebody is as close to you. You know what? This is the individual that tries to dress godly, and that person that knows what they're supposed to do, knows the will of God, and says, you know what? You don't have to do that. Hey, you don't have to be faithful to church all the time. Hey, you don't have to read the Bible every day. Hey, you don't have to pray every day. That whole pray without ceasing, man, that's for radicals. And you know what? Sometimes we stand the hardest in places that should be the easiest to stand but are not. Because the more character that we develop, the more we'll look like Christ, and that will cause conviction to people who are not. And by the way, if we choose to get along with the world, we're not going to look like Christ. Either the world will be convicted by a reflection of Christ, or we've got a serious problem. The question is, are we applying the secret to a changed life? Have we chose character, the automatic doing of right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't care who we are, that's convicting. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to get to the point where we decide right is right. I don't have to deliberate it on it. I don't have to make my decision. It's decided ahead of time. I will do what you want me to do. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to start with this invitation.